You're listening to Rise Above, a Rogers Behavioral Health podcast, where we sit down with Rogers experts who are changing the way the world views mental health and addiction.
When most people think about the phrase obsessive compulsive disorder, they often attribute it to a fear of germs or the need to check doors multiple times to see if they're locked. But there are some subtypes of OCD that you might not be aware of. And today we're talking about religious scrupulosity. It's a type of OCD that leads to intrusive thoughts about one's faith and unrelenting fear about committing sins. To learn more, we're talking with Dr. Johanna Jantz and Dr. Julia Carbonella. Thanks for taking the time to sit down with me today.
Thanks for having us. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having me.
When most people think about OCD, they picture someone who's afraid of germs or is overly neat and tidy. So they may not be familiar with this type of OCD, which takes a religious angle. Can we start by defining what is religious scrupulosity?
Yeah, religious scrupulosity has to do with excessive fear or concern. So someone's very worried about doing the right thing in God's eyes, spending a lot of time doubting or worrying that something that they're doing incorrectly or imperfectly could commit sin or displease their God.
Yeah, and I would add that OCD is really a lot more about uncertainty than it is about, you know, wanting things to be just right, like we have the picture of in our minds. And there's so much uncertainty in religion and spirituality because we can't have any kind of proof about any of it. And so when we value religion and its role in our lives, we are going to be more likely to be vulnerable to being afraid that we have it wrong or that we might be doing something wrong because of the level of uncertainty that's inherent in religion.
So when someone walks into the clinic and they say, I think I have religious scrupulosity, what would be a common example of what religious scrupulosity would look like?
Yeah, so to break it down, similar to other subtypes of OCD, some obsessions that we might see are people who have a lot of repeated intrusive thoughts about the devil or fear of being possessed or dwelling on whether God is angry at them or whether they prayed in a just right way or not. And then a lot of compulsions. So that means behaviors that they do to try and counteract and bring down the anxiety they feel from these unwanted obsessions. So a lot of behavioral compulsions, like maybe seeking reassurance from a religious figure, or also avoiding a lot of symbols that might trigger these fearful thoughts, or maybe washing or cleaning rituals. And then oftentimes with scrupulosity, we see a lot of mental rituals. So those are a little bit more subtle, but people might find themselves repeating certain prayers over and over again, or just counteracting a negative thought with a positive one.
How common is this form of OCD?
It's fairly common. It's the fifth most common OCD theme in the US. However, in communities and in countries where they're less secular, it's actually a lot more common, which kind of goes back to the idea that when it comes to OCD, the theme is mostly around like whatever you value the most. So in communities and countries where religion is just more common and more valued in some ways, there's going to more likely to be that religion as your OCD theme.
So what I hear you saying is this is not just found in any one religious group, but it does span across multiple faiths.
Absolutely. So one thing that's really important to note is that religion does not cause scrupulous OCD, but scrupulous OCD, again, occurs wherever, you know, wherever your religion is. So if you are vulnerable to OCD and you are in a certain type of religion, and it expresses as scrupulosity, then it's going to show up for you regardless of what your personal beliefs are. And that is true for also like moral, secular scrupulosity, that's not focused on religion. So it can really be anything where you're concerned about being a moral person.
How is this type of OCD different from someone who is very devout?
There's a lot of different ways to think about this, but I tend to go back to assessing scrupulosity the way we think about other psychiatric disorders. So looking at whether symptoms are time consuming or really distressing, or whether they impair the individual in some way. So they might get in the way of a lot of their activities of daily life or interpersonal relationships. And that's kind of a clue that it's different from someone engaging in healthy religious practices. And also another indication is to sometimes look at the person's religious group as a kind of like a comparison or benchmark. If they're engaging in rituals or behaviors that not many other people in their group do, then that could also indicate that they may be suffering from OCD rather than just being very devotional.
Another thing to just add to that is a lot of times a person who has scrupulosity is going to be very, very focused on a very minute aspect of their religious practice. And so they're going to be focused on that and concerned about that, potentially at the expense of the broader picture and of other aspects of their religion. So a person who's devout, I would be looking at somebody who has a whole picture of their religious practice and is able to engage in all of it, rather than somebody who's really losing the forest for the trees, getting really into concern about one specific thing and in those minute details, because their focus is more on not doing something wrong versus on trying to be have the best relationship with God, for example.
How do you go about diagnosing religious scrupulosity?
Yeah, I would say the same way that you diagnose or start assessing for any other type of mental health condition or OCD. So one way to go about it is to there's some questionnaires or assessments that can help collect symptom severity. And then you can also do more of an intake and semi-structured interview. So happy to share more about those resources for those interested. But then going from there, you can kind of determine whether they also have co-occurring conditions and also the extent of their OCD symptoms.
And then what does treatment for religious scrupulosity look like?
So the gold standard treatment for any type of OCD is exposure and response prevention. And so that is not, scrupulosity is not an exception for that. And so what that looks like is we are going to try and figure out, okay, what are the things that this person is avoiding? What are the things that are triggering a lot of anxiety for this patient? And then how can we help that patient to encounter those things, to expose themselves to those triggers, and then prevent themselves from doing compulsions as a result? So instead of trying to find certainty that they're not a bad person, or to find certainty that they didn't sin, for example, we're going to be asking them instead to sit with that uncertainty and sit with their anxiety when they encounter these triggers. So they get to practice experiencing those things in their daily life. And we also get to find out, you know, it's kind of like an experiment, right? So we have all these beliefs about like what's right and wrong and what's going to happen if we do certain things. And so we need to be able to behaviorally test those out. What we find with OCD is just talking to someone about it and telling them like, no, that's not wrong, or like, no, that's okay. The whole point of OCD is that even if, you know, the Pope told you that it was not wrong, you would still be concerned about it. And so we have to teach ourselves through our behavior and through actually testing it out for some reason in order to help that actually sink in.
If I had a loved one or a friend with religious scrupulosity, what could I do to support them?
Yeah, one big thing is actually maybe counterintuitive to a lot of people. We want to support our loved ones by giving them a lot of reassurance and validation. And then that is actually reinforcing a lot of their OCD thoughts and behaviors sometimes. So they might, you know, come to check with you. Oh, like, do you think that's a bad thought? Do you think I'm going to go to hell? Do you think God's upset at me for doing this? So actually what we call that is reducing accommodation. So something that is actually going to help them sit with that uncertainty, like Dr. Jans mentioned, is to kind of name that and be like, oh, I know you want me to give you a lot of reassurance and certainty right now. That's not something I can do. Like, that's an OCD thought. Like, that's something that's really hard to sit with, right? But we can never be sure. And so to kind of understand the cycle of their obsessions and compulsions and realize that feeding into them wanting to seek certainty is not actually helpful in the long run.
Absolutely. And that's also not to say that you can't offer them some kind of comfort. You can validate that they're going through a hard time. You can tell them, like, it must be really tough to be experiencing what you're experiencing right now. And although I'm not going to answer that question, I want you to know that I am here for you. And another thing, like, if you were to engage in, for example, prayer, maybe it's your partner and you're praying every night, I would want you to maybe instead of praying for the anxiety to go away, we might start praying for grace and strength to, you know, accept and move on from intrusive thoughts without doing compulsions. And that is a way that we can keep our faith in our life as we go through treatment, but doing that in a healthy way that doesn't reinforce the OCD.
So I'm hearing self-compassion, kind of undertone there.
Absolutely.
What would be one key takeaway message that you would like people to know about this type of OCD?
So I think one key point is something that Dr. Jans touched upon earlier, that being religious does not cause OCD. That's definitely a misconception. And so just knowing that it doesn't totally, you know, matter what faith you belong to, or even if you're not considered typically a spiritual person, you can still be suffering with this type of OCD, which can be very debilitating. And ERP, or rather exposure and response prevention, is very effective and is very treatable. And there's definitely hope for anyone out there who is experiencing this type of symptoms.
I agree. And I would want folks to take away that this is actually incredibly debilitating, as Dr. Carbonaro was saying. I think one major stigmatizing view of OCD is that it's just wanting to be neat or things like that. And it's not a preference, right? when we're experiencing scrupulous OCD, we're incredibly afraid that deep down we're like a bad person. And that's a horrible thing to have to live with. And so understanding that this is something that people really struggle with, and it really takes over our lives. And so just having compassion for those people in our lives who might have OCD, and understanding that it's not just an easy thing, and OCD is not, you know, an adjective. It's a real diagnosis.
Well, thank you both again for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Rise Above, a podcast from Rogers Behavioral Health. Be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of new episodes. As always, if you or someone you care about is struggling with a mental health or substance use disorder, visit rogersbh.org for a free mental health screening.